Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What happens when a 14-year-old suddenly becomes the emotional backbone of his family? On this episode of This Week in America, first-time novelist Mark Atkins discusses his heartfelt novel, Miles to Go Before Redemption, an inspiring coming-of-age story of family, resilience, responsibility, and hope. When 14-year-old Miles loses his father, the stable world he once knew is turned upside down. Faced with challenges far beyond his years, Miles steps into a new role, helping his mother, guiding his young siblings, and searching for his own identity while discovering the true meaning of courage, compassion, and redemption. Miles to Go Before Redemption is a moving story about overcoming adversity, embracing responsibility, and discovering that even life's hardest moments can lead to growth and healing. Mark also discusses his own life journey, including his transition from a career of over 35 years on Wall Street to becoming a novelist, and how his personal experiences help shape the emotional heart of this compelling story. Mark Atkins, author of the inspiring novel Miles to Go Before Redemption, is our guest on This Week in America. Mark, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Rick. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
What a great story that you tell here. You begin with a family facing unimaginable loss. What inspired you to tell this story? And then why did you choose to see it through the eyes of a 14-year-old boy?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
I will have to start by saying I've always had an affinity for father-son theme stories. I hearken back to a time when I was younger and I was going through, I was introverted, but I had so many different ideas and I had a loving family. And my father was an integral part of my development. So I started from that standpoint. It's the drama that begins where the father has to leave the family. It's a well-adjusted family. You know, it's a nuclear family of four. I initially started writing a much larger family, but it kind of like pared it down to four, which made it more manageable. Father has to leave the family because of a tragedy. Well, he has to leave because he's incarcerated. And so the 14-year-old boy has to assume responsibility with his mom to raise his young siblings. So that drama always appealed to me in terms of when you get an individual who's placed in a situation such as he's a young boy, 14, but he's considered sometimes an old soul. So he's able to take on the responsibilities of nurturing and teaching his siblings. So that aspect kind of always intrigued me, how someone's placed in a position that normally is not needed for them to be there. However, they, through insurmountable reasons, they find their way to rise to the challenge. So, and it kind of goes from there.
You know, it's interesting. Let's talk about Miles, 14 years old. That's his age as the story unfolds. At 14, yes. When you think back, I mentioned coming of age. That really is when you're starting to find yourself, isn't it? You're into your teen years. You're beginning into high school. You've got new interest, girlfriends, all of this as you enter that period. Talk about that, because that really is a period of big adjustment, isn't it? He loses track of who he is to help out with the family.
He does, which is really a very selfless act.
Yes.
You know, that you to do. And the fact that he loves his family so much and actually loves his father so much, however, that void he intuitively knows has to be filled, and he steps in almost seamlessly to fill that void. Yes, 14 years old, numerically, chronologically, is very young to fill such a void, you know, shouldering that responsibility with your mom in that household. However, there are people that do it. You know, I mean, if you ever watch old TV show, Little House on the Prairie, those were tough times. And you had younger kids that were coming of age a lot sooner because they had to grow up faster.
Yes.
So in a sense, I found it this way. He had to grow up faster, you know, but however, the way it happened still seemed pretty organic. it didn't seem like it wasn't didn't seem awkward or didn't seem like out of place. It seemed like it's just something that naturally he just naturally just funneled into. So that's how as a 14-year-old he assumed that responsibility and he took on that with both hands and going straight forward.
There's a lot that we can learn as adults from Miles, a 14-year-old. I mentioned coming-of-age story. That probably sells it short. This is a story about overcoming adversity, embracing responsibility, discovering that even in the hardest moments can lead to growth and healing. So there's something there for everybody. The book is Miles to Go Before Redemption. The author is Mark Atkins. His website is authormarkaatkins.com. Click on a website, thisweekinamerica.us, book available wherever books are sold. Let's talk about the timing in your life after a successful career on Wall Street. Why did you decide this is the time for you to write that first novel?
To tell you the truth, I started writing this novel actually about 12 years ago.
Wow.
But unfortunately, there have been some obstacles and impediments. Such as, you know, I've had a series of different surgeries. I was also diagnosed with lupus. So I was dealing with that, along the course of this time. My mom died, my dad died. I got married, COVID happened. I got divorced. I had two more surgeries on my eye for glaucoma and cataracts. And even through all of that, I came on the other side resiliently, and I finished this novel.
I mean, that's an amazing story. You've gone through a lifetime just in the last few years with all the ups and downs. And sorry to hear about the loss of your parents as you struggle with that. But the book is available now. And so you really can tap into your own emotions, can't you, as you're living through Miles and what he's going through with his family?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And especially since he is such a vivacious young man. He's courageous. He's empathetic. He's compassionate. He's also still fun. And he is optimistic.
What are some of the themes that you address in the book, Miles to Go Before Redemption? I mentioned some of them, but what were some of the themes that you really thought important to present in the family relationship?
Oh, definitely. The familial unity, that never-ending bond, the fact that I still feel love conquers all. As long as we have each other, the old it's us against the world, you know, to use a cliche.
Yes.
But the fact that when you're looking at family, and I'm a big sports fan, and I almost see a family as akin to being a team. A baseball team or a basketball team, everyone depends on everyone else to get the job done, you know, for a strong family. You know, everyone has to almost like has a link in the chain. So, and that's how I view family. You know, you're only as, you know, as weak, strong as your weakest link, you know, your strongest link. So that's how I view a family pretty much. You know, you've got friends, you've got acquaintances, and then, of course, there's your blood, you've got your family, you know, and that's that strong bond that ties.
There's so many books out there, but books about hope and resilience continue to seem to resonate with readers. Why do you think that is? Deep down, we all look for hope, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we always fight. A lot of us do fight for the underdog because we know deep down that's us.
Yes.
The fact that we're not always gonna win. We're gonna fail. And some people you fail a lot more than you win. But the fact that you still keep picking yourself up, knowing that there's always a tomorrow, knowing that there's another chance, knowing that there's another time to restart, you know, re-energize what you may have just fallen short of. So yeah, resiliency is a huge theme I've noticed in a lot of books. And even movies and television, it's a huge theme. And even though, of course, we would love to win every time, that's unrealistic. We know realistically we are humans. We have human frailties. It's how you come back from that.
Talk about the growth that Miles goes through. We're talking, it's not like everything was perfect and he adapted quite well and there weren't any setbacks or any issues. He struggles like everybody would struggle in that role, didn't he?
He definitely did. He definitely did, because it was, first of all, it was a new role for him.
Yes.
And once again, at the age that he was, as you stated before, that's usually a time when you're going through things that teenagers typically go through, you know.
Yes.
You're meeting girls, and you're in high school, you're hanging out with your friends after school, pretty much you're going to baseball games and after-school activities, and you're probably even thinking about putting in applications for college down the road. So these are typical teenage things that you do. However, he had to literally mature a little faster than that, because he was now the guy, you know, the man of the house, as they say. And he took that role, you know, quite seriously. And he never looked back on it. You know, he just kept going, you know, didn't know when or if his father was ever going to get out of from being incarcerated. He just knew what he had to do, and he did it.
No, it's interesting. We can learn from, and we see this in the book, Miles to Go Before Redemption, can learn from adversity, can't we? It's sort of an opportunity for personal growth if we use it that way. Miles went through that, and you certainly have gone through that yourself in recent years.
Oh, yes, definitely. That which does not kill us will make us stronger,
yes.
You know, to coin a very famous statement. Yes. There are so many things that we will deal with in life. As I say, the older you live, the older you experience more things, the longer you experience more things, the more adversity you will find from time to time. It's how you deal with that, you know. So as an individual, as human beings, we have experience. We go through this. No one is exempt from adversity. Some people, unfortunately, experience more of it than others, but it's how you bounce back from it. You know, I still think that adversity can be one of the best teachers, you know, that unfortunately a lot of people wouldn't like to hear that, because when they're going through adversity, it's pretty grim. It's pretty grim, you know. So, but I always believe, me being the ultimate optimist, that there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. You can always come on the other side. Tunnel just may be a little longer than you anticipated.
You know, that's interesting you mentioned that. One of the reviews says that it's interesting to see Miles faces life struggles with a glass half full perspective. And I'm thinking about that. That's become almost a throwaway term. We say that half full, half empty. We really don't pay attention to it. It's almost a trite expression. But that really is important. And obviously in your life, you look at that way too. The glass is half full. And that's an interesting perspective.
Oh, it really is. In my years on this earth, as I stated, I've gone through a few things. I just enumerated a few of them. And through each ordeal or through each experience, I always had an optimistic view of what's next. You know, okay, I've gotten past that. Okay, I'm healing now. You know, what's next? You know, a parent passes away. I understand. I deal with that. I deal with my emotions and my feelings, and I'll never forget them, but I now move on, you know, because I'm still here. So, and, you know, the next day for me is always, it's always what's next with me. That's one of my big things I always say. Okay, what's next? You know, tomorrow's coming. What's next? What's next on the agenda? You know, I'm still moving forward. You know, technically, as we walk, you walk forward, you don't walk backwards. Your eyes are meant to be in front of your head. You walk and you look and you view life through the prism going forward. So,
well, we see in the book with Miles that one person, well, let me ask this as a question. Can one person in real life change the direction of an entire family? We see Miles doing this, but we think family, you got a lot of moving parts there. Can one person jump in and pull everybody together, get them going in the proper direction?
Well, if not be the only one, that one person can be the major conduit that pulls that family forward and pulls it together and literally sets the stage for what's next in the family's life. So, yeah, sometimes you have one person who is literally a major central figure in that family where a lot is expected of that person. A lot is asked of that person. That person is the teacher, the nurturer, dispenses all kinds of lessons and is the psychologist. Yeah, sometimes that one person is literally such a larger-than-life figure. Miles, I don't think he's gotten quite to that level in his family. However, he is definitely an integral, pivotal figure in this family.
Talk about Miles. Let's say somebody not familiar with the book, they're joining our conversation here. If you had a couple of sentences just to sum up who Miles is as a 14-year-old thrust into this situation, what are several sentences that you would use to describe Miles, who he is?
Miles is a young man who is a almost like a Nova. He's a motivational force. If you just put his age aside for a minute, he was born with something within him that propels people on to do good things or want to do good things. Being the eldest male in the family, he has to assume a large responsibility. You know, I'm sure he didn't foresee, no one foresaw that coming in that family, but it came and he met the challenge where it stood. So, and he was there and the family, she looked up to him. He was the person that pulled them through a very tough time. You know, this was a tumultuous period in that family's life.
Our guest is Mark Atkins. He is the author of Miles to Go Before Redemption, book available wherever books are sold. His website is authormarkaatkins.com. Link on the website, thisweekinamerica.us. What's the biggest life lesson you hope readers take away from Miles' journey? There's so many there. What would you say maybe the one or the two lessons you hope is the takeaway after they read Miles to Go Before Redemption?
I would like to say from this book, most people should take away that you should never, ever give up. You should never, ever let anyone deter you from a dream or a vision you may have, you know, because, I mean, at some point in the book, Miles, as he grows older, he embarks on a career in Wall Street. So obviously these setbacks didn't stop him from moving forward with his career, you know, and he becomes pretty successful at it. So, yeah, never give up. That's the prevailing wisdom for, I think, this overall novel. You know, it has, I always put that huge rainbow optimistic spin that as you read it, despite the fact that there are ups and downs, the prevailing wisdom is that there's always tomorrow and the lessons of always moving on and that nothing's going to hold you back, you know. Miles is that, he's almost like a locomotive force going forward. He is that young man that keeps the smile on the face and keeps everyone thinking, this can happen. We can do this.
And he pulls it off successfully. It's a remarkably inspiring book, Miles to Go Before Redemption. You mentioned it took you like 12 years to really get around to this point. What was it now?
Yes.
Again, I mentioned the Wall Street career that you had, all that you went through
Yes.
personally. What was it now Yes. that made the right time that, okay, I'm going to finish the book and I'm going to publish the book? How did this happen? Why? What was the encouragement to do it now?
Well, I was about maybe, like I said, as I stated, I had been writing it over a period of years. I was about maybe 70% completed. Like I said, I was going through so many different drafts when I had to have my open heart surgery. So now I had 30% still to complete. So I had this open heart surgery, unexpected, and that set me back for a while. However, in my mind, I still had ideas of how I was going to complete the remaining 30% of the book. So, and I said, you know, I put my foot down and I said, while I was recuperating, I said to myself, this is where this is going to get finished right here. Cause I already have the ending. I already know exactly how this is all going to come together, how it kind of comes full circle. And I'm going to do it now, regardless of what kind of pain I'm in or what kind of rehab I'm going through. I am going to finish it now. It's been long enough. X amount of years have passed, and this is going to be the year. And sure enough, that's what I did.
And the book,
I didn't deter from that.
And the book
I just wrote.
And it's available now and impressing so many people. One review saying you were destined to be a New York Times best-selling author. What's this been like now that you are a published author? The book is out there. You're getting excellent reviews. People love you as a storyteller. What's it like? How exciting is this for you?
Oh, it's very exciting for me. First of all, just to give a quick confessional, my dad always wanted to be a writer. And unfortunately, because, as they say, life gets in the way, raising a family, and literally having to put that dream maybe to the side, and then eventually it just totally fell by wayside. But my dad always wanted to be a writer. In fact, when he passed away, some of the papers that I sifted through and his belongings in his apartment, I saw a lot of unfinished things that were written, and there were articles, and there were poems. So he never fully, in his heart, gave up writing, but he maybe gave up doing it professionally. So maybe he just figured, I'll just do it amateuristically, on my own, without anyone knowing about it. So yeah, so that's the thing. In terms of writing, that is one of the reasons that I got into it. Also, from the creative standpoint, I used to be an artist when I was younger. So I think also I always had the creative mind. So I just think I just exchanged one creative genre to another, from drawing to writing.
You know,
so my creative mind always had stories. My mother always told me every once in a while, because I was not an only child, I have an older sister, but she's like 6 years older. So she was already almost out of house with her friends, and I was always in the house a lot of times, being an introvert. So she would sometimes see me, you know, drawing or making funny faces in the mirror or doing voices, and she says, "Well, you're kind of a creative character." She would say things like that. So I think maybe I was destined to do this in some form or sense.
Well, and never give up on your dream, I guess, is also one of the lessons that comes out of Mark's real-life experiences. Who influenced you as a writer? Who were some of the writers that you enjoy reading and maybe learn from, little tips as you're reading through their books?
Sure. Well, I'll say right off the top of my head, I am a big fan of Malcolm Gladwell's writing.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I read Outliers like 3 times. I read The Tipping Point like twice. I think I've read Blink like twice, you know, because you can see where how trends are formed, how people become who they are. Like Outliers just talks about, like, so how does someone become a professional, whatever? How about thousands of hours of practice? You know, conceptually, most people maybe can't see that. But when you see people who do things professionally, like, say, a professional athlete, yeah, it does take thousands and thousands of hours to do something that the average person will never be able to do. So that's really a mindset. You know, you have to be of that mindset. Blink, you know, talk about, like, Tipping Point, talking about trends and why we buy the things we buy. Sometimes psychologically we're influenced and we don't even realize it. Those type of books really interest me because it's so cerebral, where you're thinking you're randomly doing something where deep down it's kind of preordained how it's done within your mind. You're just not realizing it. And my other favorite author is James Baldwin. So and I came to be a favorite. He came to be my favorite author through my dad. My dad had volumes of James Baldwin's literature. In fact, my dad was literally a bibliophile. He had books all over the place. You know, he could have had a whole room of just books alone. So, and I kind of got that from my dad. So books were never that far away from me. That literary world was never that far away from me. So it's down the line, I guess it almost became a natural thing that I gravitated towards books and writing.
And now you're part of it. And it's exciting what is happening and reading the reviews and how well this book, yeah. Miles to Go Before Redemption, is doing. I understand you're working on a new book, and on this book you're going to focus on some of the health issues that you've had.
Yes. Actually, to be honest with you, I've actually worked on two new books. One of them is a medical journal that will chronicle a lot of the things that I've been telling you about with my health problems and how I've overcome and how I live day to day with this. And the other book that I've been writing, as Lily just finished, is it's a futuristic book about a pandemic, believe it or not.
Interesting. Now, how are you coming with that? You are finished with the book, you say?
I just finished it, literally.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll have a chance to read that and get information. If you go to Mark's website, you can stay on top of what's happening with the other books and when they're available. And it's very simple, authormarkaatkins.com. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And this book available at Amazon. This is an audiobook, too, as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's in all three forms, Kindle, audio, hardcover, and paperback.
And you've got all the bases are covered. So if you don't want to, if you sit in traffic all day and don't want to necessarily read a book at the end of the day, you can listen to it as you're navigating traffic throughout the day. It's a remarkable, inspiring story. You will really get caught up in Miles and what he's going through. And keeping in mind, he's like a young teenager as he's put in this situation. Miles to Go Before Redemption. The author is Mark Atkins, our guest on the program. Again, his website, authormarkaatkins.com. Mark, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can do it again. A lot more books you've got coming that we can talk about. Great having you with us on the program. Thank you for being with us today.
It's been my pleasure, Rick. I hope people go out and purchase the book. And I just want to let them know there are some secrets and some twists in there. And it's really a roller coaster ride, but it all comes full circle. And Miles is literally a character that you probably would say, I wish I knew this person in real life.
Exactly. And the book is available wherever books are sold. And again, I've given you the link for Mark's website to get information there, like on our website as well. And I'd like to thank Christian Works Media for arranging our conversation with Mark today. Dream Big and Succeed, dedicated in helping authors to promote their creativity and their services. You can find them at ChristianWorksMedia.com. You're listening to This Week in America. You'll find us online, 28 podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, many more, Odyssey, Audible, TuneIn, Google. You'll also find us on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Blue Sky, X, and many others. And while you're there, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow us for more inspiring conversations.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.